Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor left, brings you Night Editor. Once again, the presses roll to bring us another of Hal Burdick's famous Night Editor stories. And tonight, one that brings that beloved character, Adrian P. Covington, the Jennifer County detective, back to us in a new adventure titled Adrian Sets a Trap.
They were there at midnight. Adrian, the sheriff, the district attorney, and two deputies. Following Adrian in silent wonderment as he led the way up a side path to the cottage. He cautioned them to make no noise. Then he was moving with surprising agility for his size across an open space to the kitchen window.
Friends, Hal's just given you a brief preview of tonight's story. And now here's a brief preview of the enjoyment you'll discover when you try Edwards coffee. First, you will enjoy a deep, fragrant aroma. Then, when you lift that friendly cup of fresh, bracing Edwards coffee to your lips, you'll discover an extra flavor lift that spells real satisfaction. Yes, Edwards coffee is extra rich coffee because every pound is specially blended according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula to bring you a rich, full-strength, full-flavored coffee second to none. You'll like Edwards coffee or your money refunded. Try a pound. Treat your family to Edwards extra flavor lift. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, it's that hour of the night when Hal and Bobby usually get away from the typewriters and the telephone bells and other clatter of the newsroom for a few minutes' relaxation over a cup of coffee. In a far corner booth down in the nearby lunchroom, they have just been served, and Hal says...
Sugar, Bobby? Never you mind the sugar. I'll reach for my own, thanks. Listen, coming out of the building, you said you had an Adrian P. Covington story for me. Now, you give out with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know why I've never told you this yarn before now, Bobby. It's one of my favorite Adrian incidents. I guess it was your saying we should have an Adrian to solve this present murder mystery that has the town by the ears that brought it to my mind.
Look, now, boss, never mind the whys and wherefores. You tell me the story.
An impatient young fellow, aren't you?
Why not? The story about Adrian P. Covington, the one-man detective, that man mountain in Jennifer County, that's an event.
All right, I'm going to tell it to you.
Well, for Pete's sake, start telling.
Well, I guess a good place to begin is with what happened that important afternoon in the living room of the little cottage, 8 miles out in the country from the town of Granville. It was a strange scene, and one charged with a tingling expectancy of watching the sputtering end of a fuse burn closer to a stick of dynamite. In a big chair sat Adrian, the smoke from his cigar curling lazily up around his moon-like face, a face that betrayed no interest or emotion. Opposite him, a squat, barrel-chested man somewhere along in his middle 50s, hands folded in his lap, his face a mask of calmness and repose. And back of him, where he couldn't see them, the district attorney, the sheriff, and two deputies, tense, alert, motionless, their unblinking eyes fixed on Adrian. In one deputy's hand, a heavy caliber revolver. Adrian puffed on his cigar a few times, took it from his mouth. The tension in the room sharpened. The bodies of the watchers tightened as they waited. Adrian's hand raised toward his chin, touched it. And at the signal, the quiet in the room was shattered by a cry of, "Look out!" followed by the smashing roar of a gun that tore at their eardrums. Then, silence again. A faint shadow of disappointment flicked across Adrian's face. He shifted his bulk in the chair while the man opposite watched, impassive. Then,
"All right, Joe, take him outside and away from the house for a few minutes. We'll call you when we want him brought back."
A deputy touched the stubby man on the shoulder, motioned him to follow. Together, they left the room. When the outer door closed behind them...
Yep, never flicked an eyelash. Though that gun would have made any of us jump if, like him, we weren't expecting it to go off. I'm beginning to believe maybe he is stone deaf.
The sheriff sighed gustily. Well, what do we do now? Well, I can tell you what I'm going to do. The district attorney clipped off the words with grim precision. Night before last, the most brutal murder ever recorded in Jennifer County was committed right in this room. For 2 days, we've gotten no further toward finding the killer than playing tricks on this fellow Martin Ruddock to prove he can hear.
We'd be taking a long step toward solving the mystery if we show him up for a liar, D.A.
Well, I suggest we go back to the beginnings. Now then, this much we know for fact. 18 months ago, one Charles Frank came to this part of the county, bought this cottage, paying cash, moved in. No one knew anything about him, and he offered no explanations. His contacts with people were kept to a minimum, and gradually stories grew up around him. He was the unwanted relative of some wealthy family who were paying him to keep out of sight. He was a criminal who had embezzled a lot of money, and this was his hideout. He was this, he was that, all nothing but the imaginings of curious people. The others nodded agreement to the statement, and the DA went on, 3 months ago, this Martin Ruddock shows up and moves in with Frank. He explains Ruddock is an old friend who was in a mine accident that cost him his hearing. Ruddock is broke, down on his luck. Frank has taken him in. But people notice two things. A change has come over Charles Frank. He's nervous, jumpy, has the look of a man afraid. And Ruddock is always with him, keeping an eye on him. Now, the common belief is that Ruddock has something on Frank and is trying to force a payoff for his silence. Then, night before last, Leif Winston and his wife are walking home from a Grange meeting. They see lights in the cottage up the hill, hear angry voices. Finally, what sounds to them like a cry of terror. Leif's wife won't let him come here and investigate, but early yesterday morning, Leif does come over here. When he can't rouse anyone by knocking, he looks in a window. Frank is lying over in that corner of the room, apparently strangled, then beaten to death with a poker after a struggle. Leif can't make Ruddock hear him, so he telephones us. Ruddock is up when we get here, and horrified by what's happened. We wear out a dozen pencils writing questions for him to read and answer. He sticks to his story that he went to the little room Frank had fixed up for him just off the kitchen shortly after dinner and was asleep by 8 o'clock. Not being able to hear, anything could have happened without his knowing it. Now, we suspect him of killing Frank for the money Frank must have had hidden here in the house, but there isn't one clue, fingerprints, or anything else to prove it.
Now, lest we make a liar out of him about being stone deaf.
Which we haven't been able to do. Adrian hoisted his elephantine figure from the chair.
Well, for my money, Ruddock did it. And whilst you fellas work on some new theories, I'll do some more moseying around the house. Been my experience, there's always some fool little clue, if you can find it, which same I aim to do if I can.
A half hour later, he was back in the room, and the sheriff caught the gleam of satisfaction in his eyes. Well, did you find something, Adrian?
Maybe. Just an idea so far. Humphrey, here's what I want you to do. Take Ruddock back to town for a couple hours while I do some tinkering. When you let him go, give him to understand I've found a clue that points definitely to somebody else, and he's free of all suspicion. Put his mind at ease.
And just what is this tinkering you plan to do?
Set a trap for Ruddock to be baited later tonight.
Baited with what? Adrian's folds of triple chin quivered with impish delight as he answered,
Human nature, D.A. And if you want to know more, meet me at the crossroads down the hill at midnight tonight. You might see me catch a rat.
They were there at midnight, all of them, following Adrian in silent wonderment as he led the way up a path to a screening of bushes at the side of the cottage. He cautioned them to make no noise. Then he was moving with surprising cat-like agility for his size across an open space to the kitchen window. His silhouetted figure stopped there, and he seemed to be fussing with something just over the sill. A moment later, he was joining them again.
Ruddock's asleep in the little room off the kitchen. I can hear his breathing. Maybe kind of a long wait. You better squat down, make yourself comfortable.
What the dickens is going on, Adrian?
I just baited my trap. If Ruddock is faking about not being able to hear, we may see something interesting before daylight.
Daylight?
Hard to say how long it's going to take. Maybe it won't work at all. Now, let's not talk. That could spoil everything.
15 minutes that seemed like 15 hours went by. The waiting men squirmed uncomfortably. Another 15 minutes. Oh, look, Adrian. What sort of foolishness is this?
Well, kind that may send Ruddock to a length of hangman's rope if it works.
If what works?
My trap to prove Ruddock is lying. Now, let's be quiet again.
More dreary minutes of silence in the thick darkness. More squirming. A sharp command from Adrian as one of the deputies started to light a cigarette. Eyes growing heavily tired with watching the black outline of a house within which a man slept unaware of their presence. A house that still kept its secret of death within its walls. An hour passed. The district attorney stood up.
Well, I've had enough. Rest of you can sit here all night if you want to, but I'm going... Hey, look there! By jing!
They were all on their feet now, looking toward the house from which, suddenly, a single eye of light from the room back of the kitchen burned in the darkness.
It worked! Get ready, boys. Now, there'll be a light come on in the kitchen in just a second. When it does, follow me and move fast. I want you all to be witnesses to what happens.
Another moment of waiting. Faint sounds of someone moving about in the house. Then the kitchen light flaring to brightness, and the others stumbling after Adrian as he darted swiftly across the open space toward the figure outlined against the window.
All right, Ruddock, game's up. We caught you smack dab in your own lie about not being able to hear.
A start from the man beyond the window, his staring eyes trying to see them in the outer darkness.
Stand right where you are, and don't you try to go for that gun in your bedroom, or we'll wing you where you stand. Yeah, you keep him covered, Joe, whilst we bust in that back door.
The door gave before the rush of Adrian's big shoulder, and the others poured into the room behind him, circling Ruddock, who now stood watching them in bewildered amazement. But Adrian was saying,
You go on pretending you didn't hear us if you want to, Ruddock. Won't do you no good. Got all these witnesses to what you just did. And when we tell the story of it to a jury, your faking days will be over.
Now the bewilderment was gone, and in its place was cold hatred.
You think you're pretty smart, don't you, you big fat?
Reddy Hand stopped his lunge toward Adrian, and above the confusion came the district attorney's voice.
Adrian, he can hear. Oh, of course he can hear. I was sure of it all along. Just took a little figure and set right kind of a trap for him.
But, well, I still don't get it. All we saw was the lights come on and then Ruddock standing there by the window. Come clean, Adrian. What was your trap? Adrian's grin seemed to flood the room.
Well, my trap was fixing that kitchen window so as it could reach in quietly when we came here tonight.
Yeah? And the bait?
Human nature, D.A. Human nature. Ruddock had trained himself to keep steady against sounds that had startled a normal person, but there was one he couldn't resist. One I set for him when I sneaked up to the house and reached in the window to the kitchen sink, which is within arm's reach. The human being don't live who can keep from getting up in the night to shut off a leaky faucet that's going drip, drip, drip. Now, ain't that a fool little way to trap a man?
Ordinarily, folks, I'm not what you'd call a betting man, but there are two bets I'll make you right here and now. One is that Hal will have another swell night editor story for you this time next week. And the second bet is that you will like Edward's coffee. That's a pretty safe bet, because Edward's coffee is especially blended according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula to bring you an extra flavor lift, an extra richness that makes Edward's extra good coffee. Edwards is a special blend of Latin America's choicest coffees, blended by flavor, not by weight, and roasted by the controlled heated air thermalo process to bring out all their natural goodness, then vacuum-packed to assure absolute freshness. Try Edwards coffee, won't you? Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy its extra flavor lift. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Oh, well, it was good to hear from our old friend Adrian again, Hal. Now a word about next week's story.
Well, your night editor is going to bring you the type of a yarn you rarely hear from him. It's a love story, out of today's wonderment about what happens when the uniform is put away on the closet shelf and the civilian steps out of the cocoon of military life. I call it Reflection. And I hope you'll all join us in the newsroom next week when I tell it. Good night.
Be with us next week when the Roar of the Presses brings us another original short story written and told by your night editor, Hal Burdick. This is Bill Baldwin saying goodnight for Edwards Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.